Today on Parent Time, we explore the wonderful world of Monty and Jimmy Jones as we talk to Scott Langley, co-creator and songwriter for the hit show Kazoops, on Benny Asking People Questions. If you have spent any time in the last year or so traversing the veritable avalanche of Australian children's content, chances are you have either seen, heard of, or been totally engulfed in the magic of Monty and his pet pig, Jimmy Jones, on the hit children's show, Kazoops. Even more so, you've probably found yourself lovingly lulled into their adventures by the captivating soundtrack that accompanies our team. Music that seems fresh and new while at the same time feeling like a revisit to something we remember from our own childhood. These songs are exhaustively penned, performed and produced by the somewhat uncomfortably talented Scott Langley. And he joins me here today to shed some light on this mammoth undertaking. Hi, Scott. Thanks for taking the time.
Oh, hi, Benny. Thank you for taking the time.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Hey, mate, so before we get too involved in Kazoos, what were you before? Who were you before Kazoos? What's your musical history?
Well, I left school and I went to the conservatory in Sydney and I did the jazz course. I was actually there the same time as Mark Harris and Matt Young and Nick Cecere. And Tina was there, as you all know, the La La's guys.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I studied saxophone and flute and clarinet, and then I left there, and I did gigs and a bit of teaching, and then I went on a cruise ship for a year and a bit. And I played in the Stardust show band, which was great, which was a great sort of experience. I met my dear wife, it was the Love Boat.
Yeah, right, great.
Yeah, and then I got off there, and I did some more teaching and some more gigs. And then I got a computer and I started learning Logic. And not too long after that, I started making some production music with a friend of mine named Ashley Sewell. And then not too long after that, I scored a job at the Jingle House in Sydney called Nylon Studios. And I was there from 2007 all the way until 2015, which is when Kazoops went into production.
Yeah, right. And so how did Kazoops come about? Because my understanding is it's pretty much your baby, wasn't it, from reasonably early conception?
Yeah, well, I certainly planted the original seed, because when I was at Nylon, I actually sung a demo vocal on a track, and it went final. They went with my vocal, and then I sung on another track, because I wasn't really a singer, you know.
Yeah.
And I sung on another track and another track, and they went final, and the producer there said, hey, why don't you extend these 60-second songs into like 2 minute, 2.5, 3 minute songs and make an album. And so I made an album of these sort of twee pop folk songs.
You hadn't done any singing. I mean, obviously you'd sung bits and pieces, but singing wasn't your thing before this.
No. I mean, no. In the car, maybe.
Wow.
Like I sang as much as I could, but I never sort of thought I could sing particularly well in tune or anything like that. So I made this album, and then, you know, the birth of my second child, and then I thought, hey, these could be good kid songs. The palette is kind of, a bit light, a bit fun.
He's a boy with a big imagination. Meet the pig who's truly a sensation. He's always wondering why, Kazoops. Kazoops. Kazoops.
Kazoops. And then I thought, how am I going to get these to the world? And I kind of had the idea of putting them in a TV show.
Yeah, sure. So you just woke up and went, actually, you know what? I'll just make a TV show.
Well, kind of.
Kazoops. They live in a house of every color, with a family quite unlike any other. And they couldn't be happier. Kazoops. Kazoops. Kazoops.
Tone Aston, a good friend of mine, he was working at Nylon at the time too, and I knew he was a bit of a doer, his Tone, and so we bounced a few ideas off each other, and then I sort of said, well, what about a boy and a pig, and he has a sister and a mother and a father and a grandmother. And
he went, of course. Why wouldn't we make a show about a boy and a pig?
Yeah, yeah. And then I started just writing, you know, specifically for a boy and a pig, just going on an adventure.
Had you had any relationship at all with children's music prior to this? Like, I mean, outside of being a dad, were you even conscious of what was going on around you?
No, you know, I was aware of the Wiggles because my eldest was only, he was kind of two when I really decided to, you know, focus on children's music. But look, you know, I was aware of different sorts of music, but I was kind of aware that I felt a lot of the music was a bit too simple. I thought maybe write something that's a little bit more sophisticated lyrically and maybe harmonically. Having good solid song forms. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as you know, one thing about the music from Kazoops that stands out is it is a departure from, I guess, the I don't want to use the word typical, but I guess, but I will, the typical sort of music that is associated with kids' songs, with kids' shows. Had the style of the songs, like, I mean, did you put a lot of thought into that with the developers when you sort of were getting to the pointy end of it, or is this just naturally the way you were writing songs, going, you know, I think this works?
Look, I think it was. Yeah, I was the album that I'd written, that I'd adapted from these jingles that I'd done, was that folk pop and stuff that I was sort of comfortable with producing up and making it sound kind of okay.
Yeah, sure.
And I kept going with it. I kept using some things that I thought worked, and you know, particularly against my voice, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, that's kind of what surprised me when you said you didn't sing. Well, not that you didn't, but that it hadn't really been the main thing that you concentrated on. Because as soon as you hear the songs, like, they really, truly are. I mean, they are so well pitched for your delivery. Which obviously wasn't a mistake, but it's almost so exact for your pitch that you kind of go, yeah, he's just been doing this for decades.
Oh, thank you. I didn't sing through at the con. I certainly never sang live. Yeah. I got away with it. I got away with it, Benny.
You did, mate. You did a very good job fooling all of us that you could sing. A family of fireflies light the way for the animals to come along and play. A tiny little possum flies on in. She's been waiting all day for the fun to begin. Fun at the midnight fair. The fun begins when the sun goes down. Fun at the midnight fair. You sleep all night. As far as the episodes go, because my understanding, like, there's a lot, yeah? There was, like, 70-odd something episodes that were made, which is really quite... I can't even comprehend that. That's just too enormous a thing for me to get my head around. But how did the episodes go? Like, I mean, what point do you get involved in them? Like, are you working to the writers, or the writers working to you? Are you just sending things over to them going, this is what you get, you have to deal with that? How would it work?
Well, I mean... Before I went into production, I think I'd written like 40 songs, maybe. Wow. And of all of those, I haven't counted up, maybe 10 or 15 sort of made it to episodes. And so there's 78 songs. There's 78 episodes. The final one is a
78.
Yeah. Jeez. And which was daunting, you know. I was like, oh, 78.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, just between you and I, it sounds heaps daunting.
Yeah. So there was a writing team in the UK with a guy called Dave Ingham, who was fantastic. And he had a bunch of writers. And he was kind of, you know, making sure everyone was, you know, he was quality control kind of. And so I think they went through all of my songs and they picked ones which they thought they could write around.
Sure.
I mean, some of them stayed exactly the same, but most of them I had to change a few lyrics to match characters that they wanted to be in it. But, you know, the writers were fantastic. So if it wasn't me writing, you know, coming up with the song first, it was majority of the time it was them writing an episode with and then giving me sort of like a synopsis of what they thought might happen in the song segment, the 2 minute song part, and I was given that, you know, like you set in the South Pole and maybe there's a family of polar bears, I don't know, and I'd sort of go, oh yeah. Well, okay, you know, sometimes I kind of had a different idea, and I was really, really lucky enough to have the freedom to sort of go with my own idea if I'd preferred it. But sometimes they come up with great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because obviously you'd been doing a lot of jingles and stuff before this, so the idea of the quick, tight turnaround was no stranger to. However, often when you're dealing with particularly advertising agencies, they want an incredibly specific brief. Like it's usually, yeah, we want it to sound like this song, which we can't afford, so can you write something that's almost identical?
Yeah.
Whereas in this case, you were almost, I mean, you know, you're given a little bit of, you know, if you can get a polar bear in there, that would be great. And then you're sort of left to your own devices. Was that a hard thing to have to turn around at this pace you were doing it with that kind of added amount of freedom attached to it?
Strangely enough, it all worked out sort of really well. I kind of, and I was very wary of making tracks sound too samey. But I'd, you know, I'd look for references that I thought might suit, you know, I looked into some ska references for a few tracks. There was a bunch of different, you know, the Beatles, trying to, you know, make the songs different, you know, and just referencing, taking some ideas from different songs. And, you know, funnily enough, it all just kind of worked out. And there was one track that they were like, it's not really sort of up enough. It's not really, not enough energy. Can you try again? And so I had to go again. But it was only on one. I had a pretty good hit and miss record.
That's pretty good, man. And, 1 out of 78 is pretty.
I know. Sweet. It was amazing. I was very fortunate. Show.
Everybody's happy and all looking snappy. The band starts to play. The party is underway. Down at the Coconut Safari Club, you'll be greeted by a cheetah at the door. Or at the Coconut Safari Club, there's a whole lot of fun in store.
There's an aspect to Kazoops which the music, which differs, I guess, sort of from most other children's music as well for television, and I do include like the Wiggles and the La-Las in this, is this kind of idea of writing to image, being able to say something knowing the visual is going to explain it. There's a couple of good examples. One's on Tiny Little Me, where you say, I saw a bee with a great big grin, so I decided to follow him, but had to stop at the butterfly lights. You've also got Star Crusaders has Socksteroid. It's not that these are particularly hard to visualise, but in context and coupled with, I guess, the speed and the fluidity of your lyrics, it helps to have that visual. I don't know if butterfly lights would have made a great deal of sense if you didn't have the visual of the butterfly being the lights.
Yeah.
Did writing to visuals, I mean, how did it inform you lyrically? I mean, did it enable you to be a little bit more abstract? I mean, were you able to kind of pass stuff off and go, yeah, look, there'll be a picture of that, so that'll be fine?
Absolutely, yeah. It was great like that. There's so much freedom.
There's a whole lot of fun in store.
Were you ever handed images first? Like for example with Socksteroid, did you ever find yourself in the luxury of actually seeing something and going, this is what's gonna be in the visuals? Or was it always just the song went and then you got an episode back with animation wrapped around it?
Yeah, it was always the song first. Because the animation came much, much later. And the only changes that I'd have to make was to maybe make an intro a bit longer.
To fit the animation.
Yeah, or to be long enough. It had to be 2 minutes and no more. But most of the time, not too much under. So I was really sticking to 2 minutes. Yeah.
The other aspect of the show, because obviously, as you're saying, as a kind of came from your original concept, and obviously being a musician yourself, it sounds like you're pretty happy to rely on writers to go, okay, well, you give us this 2 minute song and we're going to write the 3 minute thing around the song. Is it kind of weird, particularly it being sort of your thing, to hand over that kind of control from your content? Okay, here's my original idea for a show. Now all I'm really doing is the song. Go and knock yourselves out. Or did they still come back to you and go?
Not at all. I think that's what I hoped for. I didn't. I mean, I tried writing a few scripts, and early on when I was really trying to, you know, get it into production, I wrote a bunch of scripts and wrote the song and tried my hand at it. But you know, script writers,
it's their job.
That it's their job, and it's perhaps not as easy as you would think. But you know, I'll give anything a try.
I'll give 78 songs a try. Yeah, why not? When you need them by Friday, I'll do that.
But look, I was quite happy too.
I like playing when the sky is grey and the rain is falling on my face. I like playing when it's wet outside. I don't mind going out in the rain.
Churning out so many songs, did you find yourself with a bit of a process, or like did you find yourself having to step away from your normal sort of process, or did you sort of use the same sort of thing you'd been using for years with jingles and stuff like that?
What I did was, I used to get on my phone, my iPhone, and pull up the notes, and I just, well, they'd send me the brief, the episode, the rough of the first edit of the script, and then you know what might happen or I'd come up with whatever I thought happened, and I just sort of, I'd sit there, you know, in bed, writing lyrics, or at the dinner table, I'd sort of sit there doing it, so I could kind of be present but not present. I went for lots of took my dog for lots of walks and to think up hooks, like chorus hooks, and then I'd go into the studio and try some chords. I'd have a bit of a melody going on in my head and just try some different things, but yeah, you know, that was basically how I did. I approached each song.
Yeah, well, because there's a pretty similar backbone going through your songs, which make them a Kazoob song. Like you've got that the phrasing of the words. You've got that defining kind of second harmony, second voice that's sort of through them all. You've got the acoustic guitar backbone more or less. I mean, is this an intentional thing of yours to keep a reasonable similar musical palette, or is this just what happens when you have to write 78 of them in half a day?
I think yes, both of those. I think I was basically just coming up with what I felt was working, and if I, you know, and I'd resort to the folk guitar-y, you know, acoustic things if it was working, and it was kind of good because it did give them all a similar flavor. You know, they're all off the same.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's one of those things that whether you knew it or intrinsically did it, I mean, that's kind of one of the things about kids' music that you know, often people sort of aim for, is to have that. It doesn't necessarily mean the songs have to be the same, but you can pick it out of a group of 20 songs. You can go, yeah, that's a Kazoob's one. Yes, that's a Wiggles one. That's it. You know what I mean? There is that thread that kind of allows a child to recognise it straight away. Who's the female singer?
Well, Larissa Raitt does the majority. I also had Matilda Abraham, who did the I think she sang on six episodes between episode 1 and episode 12. And then Larissa, I got Larissa on board, and I'd done lots of jingles with Larissa, and she's fantastic. But they're great. I was very lucky to have both. And can I say one thing, though? Can I say one thing? My wife sang on one of the tracks. She sang on Flowers.
On which one?
It's Flowers. It was a 60s flower power kind of vibe to the song.
I fly across a sea of flowers. I've never seen so many colors. Why are flowers so important to us all? I meet a bee whose speciality is flowers, and he says, follow me. I'll show you why they're just so wonderful.
Yeah, right. Is it on the album? Because there's only one album out, isn't there? Is it on the album?
There is. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's on the first album. I haven't really looked at what's on it.
I have no idea what's going on with my show.
I'll check what episode there is.
Flowers help bees make honey to eat. Bees pollinate the flowers. The earth, rain, and sun help them grow. Everybody loves flowers. They're fascinating, you know.
So with the songs, who decides if it's you singing or if it's going to be the girl?
Well, the producers, Pat Edgerton, who is a cheeky little, and Libby Doherty, who was also a producer at the time, we sort of chatted about it because it was a good idea to have some female vocals in there and change it up and so it not just be me all the time, which I thought was great. And so there's a lot of room for duets. And we, you know, we just thought, oh, well, this one could be good for a female vocal. We all just sort of decided together.
Was there ever a potential of Monty being the person singing the songs?
Yeah, we did talk about that. But then we decided.
But no.
You know, against it, basically.
Well, I guess that's the thing.
Which suited, and it suited me because then I could sing it and I could play it I wouldn't have to bother anyone with revisions in it. So from that respect, great as well.
So look, the music's amazing, and it is at like such a it's such a high level for how much you had to produce. And it's an amazing feat, but the feat is not comparable to the lyrics. Every line I find is just exact and perfect. It's just the timing is great. You're fast. The lyrics are quite fast, but it doesn't end up confusing or overwhelming at all.
Did you agonize over them?
Yeah. Nice. But did you agonize over them, or is this natural to you? And for the love of God, can you just say that it was really hard, because it doesn't help me at all to think that you're just writing them down while you're getting a pie from the service station.
It was really hard.
Thanks, mate.
I remember around that time, you know, 2007, 2008, I loved Kimya Dawson. Are you familiar with her?
I think
she did a bit of... She did some kids stuff as well, but I loved how far the Juno soundtrack.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved how fast her lyrics went and the lovely folky guitar, the sort of the unorthodox playing and I loved her lyrics. I love her lyrics, and I wanted to sort of try and in that territory with the lyrics. But I definitely squeeze too many lyrics in, I think. But I don't know. I quite like it wordy.
No, I think it's great. I mean, but would have you like another? That also goes back to the visuals. I mean, would you potentially not have tried to be so wordy if you didn't have visuals? Having the visuals, did it kind of make you go, actually, you know what? It's okay, because I can say that quick. It's going to happen in front of the kid anyway.
I think so. But I only had 2 minutes to get this sort of adventure
to say quite a lot.
I didn't even think
about that. I had too much to say in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it sort of worked out that way. And like I thought, you know, it's kind of good. Maybe kids can listen to it and pick up phrases or words or ideas that they didn't hear the first time or the second time or the third time. Hopefully they watch it that many, like, listen to it that many times. And, you know, and it'd sort of give them a bit of a challenge.
Star Crusaders cleaning up the galaxy. Star Crusaders tidying the mess. Star Crusaders keeping space orderly. Cleaning up is our cosmic quest. Deep space.
My understanding is the show has been translated into 4,500 different languages. Is that correct?
It is. I think not quite 4,500. I think it's 20 languages, which is amazing.
Are the songs as well?
Yeah.
Really?
No, the songs are all translated. It's amazing. I don't know how they did it. But I've listened to a few.
Who sang on them?
I don't know. because originally I thought, oh no, I'm going to have a, you know, an accent coach, and someone's going to stick with
learn,
me. And I'm going
to learn how to sing each of these in a different language. Man, that is unbelievable. Did anyone come back to you and go, could do, like, I mean, surely they had to change words. Surely.
I don't know.
Surely Butterfly Lights doesn't sound the same in German.
I know. I've listened to quite a few of the different translations, and they all sort of sound good. And it's quite amazing how the likeness, how they managed to find people who sound quite like me.
You,
it's almost
if you
scary.
Were Vietnamese.
Star Crusaders cleaning up the galaxy. Star Crusaders tidying the mess. Star Crusaders keeping space orderly. Cleaning up. Cleaning up is our cosmic quest.
Just to clarify, you do all the songs. You came up with the original idea. You also do, my understanding is you do the incidental music as well. So you do all the scoring.
Yes.
Is that correct? And you also play the pig, Jimmy Jones.
Yes. Yes. It's true.
So
yeah, I did the pig, which is probably my greatest single achievement in my life.
Do you know what? The sad thing about that is my single greatest achievement is knowing the guy that did the pig in How did you end up doing that? Like, did you just not have you had spare time?
Well, I always fancied myself as doing a pig. I mean, when we came up with the boy and the pig idea, I thought, yeah, I could sort of, because I thought he can't talk. The pig can't be talking, but he can be understanding.
Totally.
What Monty's sort of saying. Which worked out well, I think, because those kids who don't talk, you know, those toddlers, I think maybe perhaps they can relate to him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I did it pretty good. I always imagined it was like a like a bit of that and with a few, you know, a few of those. And we tried a few different voice actors. But, you know.
God, that must have been hard.
Not as good as...
Not as good as old Scotty.
Not as good as my pig.
That would have been a hard phone call to make, just ring up and go, oh, look, I don't know how to say this, but you're not the pig. You're not good enough to play a pig.
You're not the pig.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
It's gone to...
Yeah, we'll call you.
It's gone to someone else. To another voiceover artist? No, not exactly. Just a guy who thought he'd give it a crack. So turns out he's better than you. is Jimmy Jones in 20 different languages?
No.
You're it.
You know, there is only a pig translates into all languages.
It is actually.
But can I say something about Jimmy Jones?
Yeah, do it, of course.
When I lived in Mossman, I lived next door to my neighbours had this small dog called Jimmy Jones, and I wasn't super fond of the dog. It was a bit aggressive, but maybe, perhaps. But it had this. It's called Jimmy Jones. I'd never heard of a dog with a name like Jimmy Jones.
It is a good name.
And I nicked it. I nicked it, and I called the pig Jimmy Jones, and it sort of worked out well.
My best friend is a funny little pig, and he doesn't look at all like me. But together, we make the perfect team.
Now, it's funny that you should talk about the original Jimmy Jones being aggressive, because there's one aspect of the show. I mean, it really is a beautiful it's a very beautiful show. And I don't necessarily just mean beautiful to look at. I mean, there's something quite beautiful about watching it. And I was sort of watching it the other day going, you know, what is it about this show? And it kind of struck me, this idea. There's no, I don't think if negativity is the word, but there's no angst. There's no struggle against somebody who's not doing good. So, you know, he has a great relationship with his sister Jeannie. Gran's great. Mum and Dad, Violet and Stan, are very supportive, and they're wonderful, and they're eclectic. And he has a great relationship with the pig. They're never running away from some baddie. There's like it's very, and I use the word nice. I use the word nice, not being condescending. It's just a very nice, lovely world to be a part of. Is that how intentional it was?
That's a good example of how we should all be. Doesn't it?
It does. Was it how much did you was it something you just turned around and went, oh, look at that, everyone's nice? Or did you really go, I want everyone to be nice in this?
Well, when my original idea was a boy and a pig, they go off on an adventure. You know, there's act one, the boy and the pig go on an adventure, and act two is the credits. So the song is act two, and that's sort of what happens. And then, and I kind of did imagine a grumpy cat perhaps next door, or you know, that kind of thing. But you know, I sort of had it in the back of my mind. But then I think the guys like Darren Price, who designed all the characters and is one of the co-creators, I seem to remember him being kind of more adamant of, no, that, you know, they should be nice. Everyone should be nice.
Yeah.
And which I think was a great idea. And I don't, you know, I think it was great that it went that way. And also
absolutely,
the other thing was, I'm not sure who it was. It might've been Chris Rose at the ABC. I think, said, what about if Monty challenges a preconceived idea about the world in the song? And the adventure is based around that. And originally I went, oh, a preconceived idea about them. What? How's that? That's going to make it really difficult. And can't he just go on an adventure? But you know, then that turned out to be an amazing idea, and it worked really well. And it, you know, it certainly got BBC and Netflix involved, and I think it is lovely, and it does make kids question what is how things are. You know what I mean?
Things that go together well, they're not always the same. Like peas and carrots, a pirate and a parrot,
strawberries and cream.
So why must we wear matching socks on our feet? I think our feet deserve some individuality.
Yeah, and there's a couple of really beautiful examples. As you said that, I immediately was thinking, and forgive me for not knowing the names, the song about the matching socks, why do things have to match?
Yeah, exactly.
And the other one is the one which is beautiful, is the one about why do I have to get rid of something just because I've outgrown it?
Yes,
but they're beautiful. But talking about that notion of preconceived ideas, what's like they're really genuinely beautiful kid ideas. I think that's one thing about it. I mean, obviously, preconceived ideas. People would look for these bigger picture things and go, "Oh, preconceived ideas of what a family looks like, a preconceived idea of what this looks like." And of course, that's wonderful, and there's a total merit in that. But there was something that you seem to have achieved is this idea of, they're actually really just simple preconceived ideas that mean the world to a child.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like we'd never think about why do socks have to match, but I'm sure kids sit there going, "Why do I don't know why they have to match? Why is that so important?"
Yeah, my mother always tells me when I was a kid, I used to challenge why why can't I have my elbows on the dinner table? Yeah, totally. That was me as a 4-year-old.
And then why? as you become an adult, you just go, I'm just going to do it now. I've never worked out why I couldn't. Yeah. I'm just doing it. Hey, look, yeah. I'll wrap it up, Scott. I really appreciate your time. Look, it's really genuinely, I've had to listen to the album too lots in the last couple of weeks, obviously, and I've watched the show. Well, you can't turn the television on without it being on. That's not an insult, but it's definitely everywhere.
Oh, my goodness. Really? But my television doesn't work, so I have no idea.
But look, it genuinely... It's a really beautiful show. It's a really beautiful show. It's a very well-rounded. Whether it's intentionally or not, everything's really well thought out. And the music is just, I think the music's a triumph. I think your lyrics are a triumph. And it makes the whole experience a real pleasure for kids and for adults. You know, I think it's great. What are you ever going to write another song for a kid again, or are you now going to go back to writing jingles, or what is next? Now that you've had this experience going back and writing for other people, does it make it a bit harder?
No. Look, I'd love to do, hopefully series 2 starts up at some point in the near future. I've got a few things that I'm working on at the moment, and you know, I'm back into doing jingles because I love the jingles so much. I'm open to all sorts of things, but I've definitely got a few ideas that I want that I'd like to, you know, make happen.
Hang on, sorry, just going back. You said you don't have a television.
I do have a television. I have a DVD player. But the antenna doesn't work, and we never bothered to get it fixed.
Well, your entire career is based around stuff on television.
I know, but I mean, I watch things on YouTube. I guess it is. It's a bit naughty of that.
Birds up in a tree, minding their eggs happily. A lovely nest that fits just two. They chirp and they sing, their nest is their most favorite thing. And gee, what a stunning view. Why should I let go to the things that I have called, when I still love them so? I can't help but sigh at the thought of saying goodbye to my old best things that have long been mine.
It really is a great show, Scott, and on behalf of everyone listening.
Can I just say, just quickly, I was so blessed to have to be working with, you know, to have such a great production company and I think voicing it with English voices there is something really, really lovely about that, and the script writing team was amazing, and the animation turned out better than I could have hoped for, and it was so, it's been the whole thing. I've been very fortunate, and it's, you know, it's so inspiring to when you see that when I first saw the characters and then first saw, you know, them coming to life and all that sort of thing. But the guys at Cheeky Little Media, fantastic, and Giggle Garage, who are in Malaysia, they did all the animation. But yeah, I just wanted to give them a quick plug.
Yeah, totally. And just on that, I mean, is there because obviously a lot of people look at music and think music's incredibly hard, and you know, you probably somewhere in your brain go, oh yeah, but it's what I do. Was it amazing watching those other elements to your music? And just going, how do they do that? How does that happen? How do they make those mouths move to, like,
I know.
It's a whole different world.
It is. It's amazing. I'm still amazed at whoever it was that managed to get the gazillion Jimmy Jones snorts and squeaks I did over a couple of hours one day in a studio. How they got them to sort of pop them all in and make them feel fair, you know, natural or something, and you know, get Jimmy's point across.
I think totally.
But it's nice to have nice to not understand.
Sometimes it's good just to be amazed.
Be in the mystery.
Yeah, be amazed and just go, oh, well, I'm going to go grab some chocolate. All right, Scott. Well, look, I do really appreciate your time. I appreciate you sort of filling us in on how the hell that thing came together, and it is a genuine triumph, and I do mean that. It's a really beautiful show, and it deserves all the accolades and the support that it's getting, because it's great. It's a great show.
Thank you, Benny. Oh, look, I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, mate, well, take care, and we'll talk soon after the next 78 episodes are done, and you can fill us in on how that was.
That'd be great.
All right, Scott, take care.
Good on you, Benny. Thanks, heaps.
If you'd like to know more about Kazoops, then tune in to ABC Kids pretty much any time of the day, or go to ABC iView for an instant fix. And of course, for more Benny Time goodness, you can visit www.bennytime.com. Thanks for listening to me, Benny, asking people questions.